Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Daniel, and Daniel's had UFO encounters his whole life, and it actually led him down a bit of a path of the paranormal, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on, mate, because you were telling me before we got started that you're still having UFO encounters to this day, and from the email that you sent me there, you've been having UFO encounters for quite a while now. Are you able to tell us about the first UFO encounter you had and, I guess, kind of walk us through a bit of a timeline?
Yeah, okay. The very first, and this is quite a vivid one for me because it was my very first encounter with a UFO. Now, I remember it was a New Year's night. This was probably back in the 80s. I was only a kid, probably 8. Maybe years old, 9 years old, maybe somewhere around there. So, about 87-ish, somewhere. Anyway, we're having a New Year's party that day. And I can remember all my cousins were all around my cousin's place. And this is in South Australia, in a suburb called Alberton. And we're setting up for the day, and my uncle had this, it was about, at the time, probably about an 80-year-old house. It's one of the old sort of pressed steel cladding on the outside and stuff like that. It was a very, sort of traditional house for that time. And he had a very deep block. They had very long blocks in these neighborhoods. So he actually cordoned off part of this block and did a really nice grass and lawn. But all the back had what we called like these stinging nettles, like these weeds that used to grow. My cousin and I actually, we thought it would be fun that with all the rest of the kids that night when we played hide and seek, we'd actually go and clear out a section of this weed area and we'd lay there and, freak the kids out by calling out to them, but they wouldn't be able to find us. And I remember that night when we actually went out there, we sort of snuck in to where these weeds were and all the kids are running around and stuff, and our parents were all in the back veranda, yahooing and carrying on and drinking because it's New Year's night. And my cousin and I were sort of laying down on a bunch of cardboard we made in these weeds so we wouldn't get stung by the sting. We're looking up at the sky. It was like a clear sky, like in Adelaide. Clear night, New Year's night, middle of summer. And I'm looking up. We sort of noticed, I noticed first that there was no stars. I couldn't see anything. And you could see stars one side, see stars on the other side, and then there's just a patch of black. And then when your eyes focused on it, we could see what looked like the outline of a whatever it was. You know, obviously now, you know, I realized it was a craft. And it was just hovering right above my uncle's house. Like, it looked like he could reach up and touch it. That's how close it was. My cousin and I, we were staring at this. We didn't know what to make of it. Like, we were only kids, you know, 8-something years old. So we got up, freaking out. We sort of jumped this little fence, ran up to our parents, and they're tugging on their shirt and saying, look, there's something above the house. And all these little kids, which were even younger than us, sort of started congregating in the backyard. And we're all looking up at this thing, looking up above the house. And all our parents were just telling us to go away. You know, we're just noisy kids mucking around. No one was paying any attention to us. None of the adults wanted to know. So we sit there and watched it, and it just sort of sat there for a little while, and then it slowly started moving. I'm trying to just think of the directions. So it was moving north. And so we opened up the roller door, ran around to the front of the house, and it just, as it got to the neighbor across the road street, it just shot off like a rocket. Like it just zipped away. Like, when a few years later, I was in primary school, and I don't know why it was a subject in primary school, but the teacher in the class at the time wanted us to all draw a picture of a UFO, what we thought was a UFO. You know, for some reason that came up as a, you know, as a topic of conversation in my class. And it was interesting because all these kids were, you know, doing your typical saucer-shaped UFOs. And then I drew something that was actually unusual. So he put it aside. And then he's looking through all the other pictures, all the kids drawing the pictures. And then he sees another one and he says, put that aside. And then I find out that in that class, there was another kid that saw a similar UFO that I saw, and we basically drew the same thing. It was basically like it was oval-shaped sort of front, cut off at the back, with like two prongs coming out and something attached between the two prongs with four holes around the edge. And it didn't look like a typical saucer, and that's what sort of caught the attention of the teacher when he put the two pictures aside. And then I later found out that this kid actually seen the same UFO I saw probably on the same night. So, and he lived in a similar area. So this was Croydon Primary School, I think it was. I don't know if it's around anymore, but it was only a couple of suburbs away from where I witnessed this UFO.
That's incredible. So, because, I mean, for you to see that, and then I guess the shape of that is so unique. You know, I've never heard of a UFO like that. And then for this other classmate of yours to draw something practically identical. That's incredible.
It was the weirdest thing. It was definitely the weirdest thing, you know, because it wasn't, everyone had this idea of what a UFO looks like by popular culture, you know. And we just drew something completely different, which, funnily enough, both of ours looked quite similar. And we weren't even on the same side of the class. He was near the window on one side of the class. I was near the hallway on the other side of the class. So there's no way in hell we could have actually seen each other's work.
That's it leaves a lot to the imagination, doesn't it? Because it's kind of like, wow, did this person genuinely see that same UFO that you did on that same night? Because that would be amazing if that's the case.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, questions. I don't even know, like, let's see, how old was I? Like I said, I was, you know, 7 or 8 or something like that. So I don't even remember the kid's name. Like, so I couldn't even get in contact with him now and you know, ask him about it. You know what I mean? Like, I've always wondered about it, but, primary school. So many kids go fast, you know. I don't even know anyone from primary school anymore. So, yeah, it was very interesting. And that was one that really stuck in my mind, because that was my first ever UFO experience.
And it's a great one. It's absolutely fantastic, Daniel, because you know, not only did you see it yourself, you know, potentially this other classmate of yours saw it, but you also saw it with a whole bunch of other children, which really gives the experience
the whole family, like all the kids, you know, and my next oldest cousin. And yeah, it was just, I don't know if any of the kids would even remember it now, because most of them would have been about 4, 5, 6 years old, kind of, you know. But yeah, it was a very interesting experience.
Absolutely it is, mate. And when it was over the house, could you hear anything or anything like that?
No, it was dead silent.
Yeah,
and it just hovered there. And it wasn't silver or any weird metallic color. It was like satin black. It was like jet black. Like it, until your eyes actually sort of focused in on it, you wouldn't even know it was there.
That's interesting, because this isn't the first time I've heard a UFO encounter like that, because there seems to be a bit of a trend that I've heard recently where people don't see the lights that you would normally, you know, connect with a UFO sighting. They're seeing a basically a blank shape in the sky that's blocking out any other light.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this thing did have lights. It had portholes. Like it looked like portholes. There might have been lights. I don't know. I'm sort of just trying to think back. But I could tell there was like, they weren't colored though. They were just white, you know, like just a normal white light, you know. But they weren't bright, you know, they were dull. So, and that's what kind of, that's how we worked out what the shape of it was. That's when your eyes train into it and you realize that you're looking at a solid object in the sky that's blanking out the rest of the sky. And then you can make out the actual shape of it because of these lights that are around the outside edge of it.
And how high above you do you think this encounter was happening? Because from what you were saying there earlier, that sounded like it may have only been maybe a few hundred feet above the house.
Yeah. Like it literally felt like you could reach up and touch it. It was not far off the roof of the house at all. It was just sitting there. Like it was observing what we were doing. Like it was New Year's. Like in that street, I think my great uncle's party at the time was the only one having a, like a big party in that street for New Year's night. I know most of the people that live in that street.
That's right? Creepy. That's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah. Most of the people that live in that street, you know, like we're Russian, Ukraine, Polish background. In that street, that suburb, Alberton, majority of the Ruskies and the Polish and the Ukrainians live in that neighborhood, because there's two churches in that neighborhood, the Pentecostal Russian Church and the Orthodox Church. So a lot of the Russians used to live in that neighborhood. And the majority of that street were Russian, and they were very, you know, Christian and God-fearing people. So they didn't party, you know what I mean? And this was, a lot of my uncles, my father and mother, you know, my uncles and aunties and stuff, they were sort of young. So they partied, you know, they liked to drink, you know, get on the grog and all that sort of stuff. And you know, sort of rebelling against all the, you know, against all the oldies. But it was like basically the only party on the street, you know. So it was like it was just sitting there, just suffing us out, you know, just sort of observing what was going on. But it was just really low. Like it was not far off the roof of the house at all.
Yeah, that's the most incredible part.
The way it took off, it literally just, very close, very, very slowly, just sort of edging along, you know. And then when it got to the neighbor across the road, their house, sort of just above their house is black. Their house is, you know, these people weren't, I remember them, they were a Vietnamese family. And they weren't partying. Either they went home and they were partying somewhere else, or they weren't partying. They were not home, so there was no lights on in the house. And the thing just sort of went over to the top of their roof. And then next minute, it was just, boom, gone. Like, it didn't even leave like a light trail or anything like that. It was just 1 second it was there, and then sort of just, you could see it take off. Like, you could see the instant acceleration. But, yeah, it was hard to explain. I mean, it happened a long time ago when I was a kid, but it's so vivid in my mind, you know. And I was the eldest kid there, so I was the eldest out of all the cousins and stuff there. So I'm the eldest grandchild in my family. So, yeah, it was one of those really weird, bizarre, and probably the most interesting out of all the UFO sightings I've had to date, apart from one other.
So ever since you had that encounter, were you kind of fascinated with the UFO phenomenon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was fascinated with all things strange. So not just the UFO. Like, I was just your typical kid playing around and, you know, going to the park and just doing, like, this is the 80s, you know, and we used to muck around and paddocks and stuff, and we used to shoot BB guns and ride motorbikes and ride our push bikes and, you know, just general kid stuff, you know. And probably after that is when I really started getting interested in the paranormal, you know, sci-fi movies and all that sort of stuff. I started really getting right into all that sort of stuff because I thought, wow, there's something out there, you know. There's something that we don't know about.
Did you ever tell your parents about the encounter, perhaps like the night after or something like that?
Oh, nah, because I was a kid. I didn't, you know, the next day I sort of mentioned it to them maybe, oh, I don't know if it was the next day or not. They probably would have hangovers or something, probably not. But, you know, I mean, I remember telling my parents when I got a little bit older. Like, I remember sitting down in my dad's place. You know, he's got a place here in Adelaide, and he's got a big shed that he used to sit out and have a drink in and stuff. And I used to go out there and have a drink with him. And I said, Dad, remember that night when I was trying to get your attention and, you know, you wouldn't come out and see it? You know, there's a bloody UFO hovering over the house. My dad's like, ah, yeah, baby. You know, he doesn't believe in any of that. You know, he doesn't believe in UFOs. He doesn't believe in ghosts. He doesn't believe in any of that stuff. But, yeah, I told him about it. And then I mentioned it to my mum. I don't know. I can't remember how long ago after that. But they both knew about it. You know, I both told them. So, yeah.
And they're not on believing you about it or anything like that? They just kind of brush it off?
Well, you know, like I said, we're really religious family. So my dad thinks that all that sort of stuff, you know, it's the devil. You know, you talk to most religious people, like, you know, we're all Pentecostals and stuff like that. All that's the work of the devil. You know, UFOs and aliens and ghosts, that's all the devil. You know what I mean? So even though my parents were sort of rebellious back when they were younger, you know, and the way that they used to, you know, drink and stuff like that, they still believe in the old, you know, way of thinking, you know. It's like, oh, no. So my dad doesn't really believe in anything paranormal. My mother, however, she sort of does, but she sort of doesn't.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. And, you know, that's very much of that time too, because you usually find the younger generations are a little bit more open-minded when it comes to this type of stuff. And when you've got someone who's, you know, so deeply ingrained in their religious roots, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to, you know, get them to budge on anything when it comes to that type of, I guess, mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, I mean, I don't know if I didn't have that experience, I don't know if I would have believed it today. You know what I mean? Like, it's the fact that I actually had that experience, and which kind of sparked my whole interest in the paranormal in general. And, you know, also I'm into the ghosts and stuff like that. So around that time as well, not long after, or around that time, I started doing a lot of urban exploring, and they call it urbexing these days, but we call it back then trespassing. And, you know, things happened then too, which sparked my interest in the ghosty side of things as well.
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month. What was this other UFO encounter? We'll get into that, and then we'll touch on some of that paranormal stuff that you encountered on your adventures there. So, do you mind going into this other UFO encounter that that really stuck with you?
Yeah. Okay. So now that was I probably didn't really have much from that time until I got a little bit older. Probably once I met my wife and had a couple of kids, and then we're sort of having a, you know, went over to my dad's place to visit my dad. You know, we sort of used to be there, have dinner, and we stay pretty late. You know, he gets on, has a few drinks and stuff. I'm not a drinker personally, so, you know, I just sit there and have a good yarn with him. And we're coming back home from his place. Now, he lives in the northern suburbs of Adelaide. And we're driving down the road, and then we sort of get to a, an area where, you know, you've got like a shopping center, it's like a shopping complex area and stuff, and there's an intersection there, and I can remember there's a KFC on one corner, and then on the other corner there's just nearly built like an office works and stuff. We're sitting at the set of lights, and this is probably about 1-ish in the morning, sort of 12 o'clock at night, 1-ish in the morning, somewhere around there. It was really cold, it was a winter's morning, and just sort of we're sitting at the lights and there's no cars. It's not a car inside, you know, not a soul on the road. This is, you know, late at night, winter, there's no one out. And sort of sitting at these lights, waiting for the lights to turn green. I noticed this thing in the, like, through the front windscreen of my car. I'm just looking up at it and I'm like, what the hell's that? And my wife was sitting right next to me. We both saw it. And it was a triangle shaped object. It was just sitting there, had a light at each corner. And it was just hovering. And then one of its points was facing in the direction of where we were traveling. And just before the lights turned green, this thing did a full 90-degree turn and then started shooting off to my right. It, like, just started traveling to my right. So it literally just spun around 90 degrees and then just started going. And just took off into the darkness. And that was probably the next UFO. That was my next one after that one that I saw when I was a kid. So that was interesting in the sense that was like, we're just sitting there with our mouth open, like, what the hell is this? The interesting thing is, though, it shot off towards an airbase.
Oh, really?
It was very close. Yeah, it was very close to Edinburgh Airbase in South Australia.
That's so interesting.
I don't know if it was some secret tech or whether it was a UFO or maybe drone technology. I'm talking about, let's see, my kids were only very young, maybe 20 years ago now. So I doubt they would have had, well, maybe they would have had drone technology back then. I don't know. But it just moved in a way that I've never seen anything move before. It just sat like a helicopter. It was just like sitting there, but it turned 90 degrees and you could clearly see it was a triangle because it only had the three lights in each corner. So, yeah, that was probably my next wow sighting that I've ever seen before.
What did your wife think of that?
Well, she was just like, what the hell is that? I was looking at her going, your guess is as good as mine because I have no idea what that is. And at first we didn't know what it was. Like, we knew it was, like a UFO or something, but it wasn't round, it wasn't your typical UFO, it was a triangle shape. So we're like looking at it going, what the hell? We're both sort of like, you know, how you sort of squish up to your windscreen, so you both sort of stick your face up against the front windscreen, you're looking up, and we're just both doing that. And it's like the thing just turned 90 degrees and shot off, and it was like, we both like looked at each other and went, what did we just witness? Yeah, and then obviously the lights turned green. Well, actually, I think they already turned green while we were looking at it, and there's not a car on it. There wasn't a freaking soul inside. And we just, okay, that was weird, and just continued home. Like, what could you do? This was back in the day before mobile phones had video cameras and stuff like that, you know. What was I rolling back then? I don't know. I can't even remember what type of phone I had back then, but it wasn't the kind of phones we got these days. You can whip it out and try and take a video, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was that was an interesting experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really cool experience, because I always like UFO encounters where the person I'm interviewing, they actually have that same encounter with someone else, so that, you know, they're sharing that with someone. And to share that with your wife, that's really, really great. And you can kind of just share that little moment together and go, you know what, we saw this UFO together and that was amazing.
Yeah. What's the only one other than the other one I was telling you about, when we're going for a bike ride, but we'll get to that one. My wife's witnessed two UFOs with me. So that was the first one she's witnessed with me, and then I've got another story a little bit for you, but that was the second time she witnessed the UFO with me. And then not long after that experience, I was working for, obviously living in South Australia, I was working for General Motors Holden. I used to work in the body shop there, we're welders. And I was working afternoon shift. Afternoon shift used to finish about 10:30 at night. We start about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And usually, you know, 10:30 at night, at this time, I only lived not far from the factory. I only lived a few streets away from the factory. And then a few streets away from the factory, there was a bottle shop. So we used to go for a bit of a ride down to the bottle shop, buy a couple of beers, you know, go home, have a couple of beers, have my dinner, go to bed. And this one particular sort of jump on my push bike, so I had to go for a ride down to the bottle shop. Now, I don't know if you're aware where the Holden's factory was in South Australia.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it was in a naval cooler. It was in the northern suburbs. A naval cooler was a fairly rough neighborhood. It's not sort of roughish sort of neighborhood. And there was a bottle shop not far from the factory. And it was called the South Shops. Now, I was riding down the road. The road was called Phillip Highway. Riding down this road, I get to the bottle shop. The pub itself is shut at the time of night, but the drive-thru is open until 12 midnight. So I got there with maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes to spare before the place shut. I get into the... I walk into the outway, so where the cars come in and then drive out. I walk into where they drive out, and there's not a soul in the bottle shop. There's usually two attendants there. One guy keeping an eye on things, making sure no one's pinching in us, and another guy that sort of, you know, gets everyone's orders, something like that. And I'm sort of looking around like, where are the two guys? You know, they're always in here. So I sort of walk through the drive-thru and get to where the cars come in. I see the two of them standing out where the cars drive in, looking up at the sky. I'm like, what's going on here? So I walk over to them. I have a look up. So where it's three of us standing there, we're all looking up at the sky. Next minute, the manager of the hotel, he's finished for the night, he's about to go home. He walks over, what are we all looking at? So he's looking up. And then probably about 10 metres away from me, there's a payphone. There's a fella on the payphone. He just drops the phone. He's just staring up in amazement. We're all sitting there in amazement. Two orange balls of light travelling across the sky. One was actually quite low. The other one was really high up in the atmosphere. And they were travelling in unison. You can tell the one that was higher up was moving a lot faster to keep up with the one that was, you know, in our atmosphere. So they were both travelling across the sky. And they were travelling south to north. Again, heading straight over in this Edinburgh RAF base is actually in this neighbourhood, right? So this Edinburgh RAF base is all in the northern suburbs here. They're both travelling over this RAF base. And we're just sitting there for a good, I don't know how long, maybe 10 seconds, maybe, I don't know. It seemed a lot longer, but it wasn't a long time, but it seemed a long time, you know? When things sort of just slow down, when you're sort of, you know, fixated on something. And these two orbs, they were just like, you know, you get the orange color from those, you know, highway lights, like street lights, like a bright orange.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfectly round, bright orange orb.
That's both incredible.
Flying in unison. one lower in the atmosphere, one way up. Like, I don't even think it was in our atmosphere. I think it was, like, out of our atmosphere. And you can tell that one was flying much faster just to keep up. But they were flying in unison. And they were heading. And I'm just watching them going straight over, and I'm like, oh, my God. I looked at the bend around to the manager. Like, the two attendants are just sitting there going, what the hell is this? The manager said, what the hell is that? The guy on the phone is just sitting there. The guy that was on the payphone, he's just dropped his phone. He's taken a couple of steps out onto the street, and he's looking up as well. So there was five of us there looking at these bloody balls, bloody orange ball things, right? The UFOs. And I'm sitting there going, I turn around to the manager. I said, they're flying straight over the rat base. And I wonder if they see them. So I jumped on my bike. I didn't even bother buying any, alcohol for the night. Jumped on my bike, absolutely belted back home, like as fast as my legs could pedal. Get on the phone. Now, this is back in the day. We had corded phone. So I get on the actual corded phone, and I ring up the RAF base, right? And I'll dial up the internet and all that sort of stuff. What's RAF number? Get on my phone. Start dialing the RAF base. I get into there. I ring up the RAF base and say, did you guys see that? I don't know who I got on the other end of the phone. It probably was reception or something like that, but this was late at night, so obviously they had someone there 24 hours or whatever. I said, did you guys see that? And she's like on the phone going, seen what? I said, there's two bright ball lights traveling straight over your base. No. She's like, no, I didn't see it. I said, your radars or something would have picked it up. They flew straight over the RAF base. She goes, no. She goes, you don't think... She goes, oh, what'd she say to me? She says, oh, what do you think they were? I said, I have no idea. I'm asking you. This is the conversation I'm having with the person on the other end of the phone at the Edinburgh RAF base, right? And then the next minute she comes out, oh, you don't think they're ballistic missiles, do you?
Are you kidding?
I turned around to her and said, isn't that what you're supposed to bloody know? So we had this, here's me almost freaking out at them, it's something you're supposed to bloody know, isn't it? And then they gave me the number to contact some UFO researcher in Adelaide there. And I contacted him. He goes, it's really interesting. Those two same balls of light, were actually witnessed in two other locations in within days of each other. So
really?
2 days before I saw those two balls, they were seen in an area called Victor Harbour in South Australia. And then later, I think it was in York Peninsula in South Australia. It was two same orange balls.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that story about the ones in Victor Harbour, the ones in New York, and the ones I saw were all published in some UFO magazine.
Wow. So there's a lot of validity to that.
Yeah, well, well, the funny part was is contacting the RAF base and saying, do you see them? They're like, no. Don't you see them on the radar? No. Do you think they're ballistic missiles? How the hell am I supposed to know? Isn't that your job to know that?
That is
a funny conversation.
That was too funny.
Amazing. Five people witnessed that. Five people were standing there watching it happen, So it wasn't just me, it was the two guys in the bottle, the manager of the pub and the guy on the phone as well as myself.
And the fact that you also said that these lights were seen in other places, that just goes to show something weird is definitely going on there.
I literally just legged it home, just ran inside, sat there with my wife. Go, I just seen these two UFO things flying. And she's like, what? And I'm like, two bloody UFOs flying across the sky. Let's get on the phone to the RAF because they flew straight over the RAF. And then I ring up the RAF. And that's the conversation I had with the RAF. So it was now that I think back, it was bloody hilarious.
Absolutely. I think that might be one of the funniest UFO encounters we've had on the show to date, because the fact that the RAF were just kind of, we don't know what it is, and kind of asking you for a bit more information, that's absolutely classic.
Yeah, well, they were being really blasé about it. It's like new. And I knew they were bullshitting, right? Because, like, this is the way she was going. No, we didn't see anything. But we had a mate that was actually, he was actually in the RAF, stationed there. And so we sort of got a bit of validity from him, but we can't really say who his name is, right? Because he's still in the service. So he's kind of sort of said, yeah, we do see things.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, well, but I can't mention his name because he's still in the RAF.
And yeah.
Actually, he's not stationed there, but he's stationed up here now. But I can't mention his name because I don't want him to get in trouble.
No, of course not. We don't want to do anything like that. So, Daniel, what was the final UFO encounter that you shared with your wife?
Right. So now, recently, right. So I've seen two now. The easiest way to explain them. There were two silver balls, like just spears, two silver spears. Now, the first encounter, my wife and I decided to actually go for a bike ride. It was just, you know, in the afternoon, daylight, and there's a lake near our house in the Sunshine Coast here. So we decided to go for this bike ride around this lake. And then I think we stopped just to have a drink. I'm having a drink, you know, sort of the bottle with the pop lid and stuff. So I'm sort of throwing my head back to have a drink, and I'm like looking up at the sky, and that's how I noticed this bloody silver sphere just cruising across the sky. And I just pointed it out to my wife. We're both just like looking. This is the second encounter my wife saw. We're both looking at it going, what on earth is that? And it's just a perfectly round silver sphere, nothing, you know, it's nothing, no lights, no sound, no nothing, just a sphere cruising across the sky. And we noticed it was heading from west, heading east, and it was heading straight from Mooloolaba, main town, you know, that's where all the high rises and stuff are. We're in the suburbs a little bit away. It's heading straight from Mooloolaba. We were just watching this thing. We just started watching it going across the sky. Like, it's really weird. And then all of a sudden the thing just dissolves. It just disappears before our eyes. Like, so literally
doesn't shoot off.
Like, vanished. No. No, it, like, it dissolved into nothing. Like, it just, it was the weirdest thing. We're just sitting there with our mouths open going, what just happened? You know, the thing just vanished. It, like, it went into some sort of weird cloak mode, or I don't know. I can't even explain it. It looked like it literally just dissolved into nothing.
You know, and that's exactly what I was thinking, was that maybe it has some cloaking technology. So rather than the fact that, you know, maybe it's actually just disappearing, it's just cloaking itself.
Well, yeah, I can't explain it. It's nothing I've seen ever before. And then I've seen it, and then we saw the same silver orb thing traveling. This time it was traveling south to north. So because we moved house, went to another neighborhood, so we lived sort of close to the beach, right smack bang in the middle of the Sunshine Coast now. And we're just outside enjoying the night, you know, just sitting near the pool, just looking up at the stars like we usually do. Next minute, my daughter goes, Dad, what's this? My daughter's seen this one. And it's the same silver ball cruising across the sky.
Really?
And then we're just like, we're all looking at it, and it was heading for Mooloolaba, so it was heading north towards Mooloolaba. Same thing, just disappears, just vanishes.
Yeah, what are the odds of that? What are the odds of that?
Yeah, what are the odds of that? So, and apparently these silver balls are actually seen here on the coast and top end Queensland quite regularly. I've never seen anything like it before myself, but because the three previous experiences were not these silver balls. Obviously it was sort of some weird craft, triangle shaped craft, a couple of orange ball like things, but these silver balls were like something else. I don't know what they were. They didn't seem large. They weren't large. You know, smaller than a light plane maybe. You know, they were little ways up, but they weren't very high. You know, sort of like the same altitude that a light plane helicopter would fly somewhere around there. You know, they weren't extremely high up or anything, not like a passenger plane or anything, but you know, they were, you know, but they weren't very big, you know. It's hard to explain, it's hard to judge the size of these things, you know. Yeah, so that was interesting. And that happened, the first one, when we were looking around the actual, riding around the actual lake, and we saw that first one later that night. And it was probably some sort of documentation about this, but we had that meteor that came through that broke up and had like a whole heap of things. It was like lit up the whole night sky. People from Mount Isa, Sunshine Coast, I think even up your way, actually saw this. And this meteor just came through and was heading south, coming from north. It was huge. And then that happened later that afternoon, which was really interesting because we had an army helicopter fly the exact same path the meteor actually flew. You know, only maybe half an hour after the meteor came through, and it was like an army helicopter flying right through it in the same direction. But it was publicized all over bloody Facebook. Like everyone, oh, did everyone see that? And so it was like a proper media that actually flew. But that happened the night that we saw that UFO, which was, I thought was interesting. I didn't know if there was any correlation to that, but yeah. So
it's a crazy UFO filled life that you've got there, Daniel. And I want to thank you for coming on the show, because some of those encounters, they are fantastic. And it seems like you've had the opportunity to share every single one of your encounters with somebody else, which is absolutely fantastic in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a few others. I did see one, you know, sort of like strange lights sort of hovering over the Adelaide Hills, sort of flying along, but it was, you know, sort of going the contours, like going over the top of the hills and stuff like that. But I mean, I couldn't tell if that was a UFO or not or anything, so I didn't really, I don't know. It's, you know, and there was a few other little things I've seen here and there, but those were the main, you know, boom, I could tell you in detail what it, you know.
And what do you think what do you think these craft are, Daniel?
I have no idea. I mean, in all honesty, you know, I mean, if you believe in extraterrestrial, yeah, okay, maybe advanced tech, I don't know. But I don't know. To tell you the honest truth, I really don't know. You know, I've always been interested in what's out there, you know, UFOs and you know, what's in space. Are there other life forms out there? I think that's a big question everyone has. You know, are we alone? Is there anything else out there? And it's why we always have this constant search, you know, looking for radio stations, SETI and stuff like that. You know, it's one of those things. But are UFOs, you know, alien? I don't know. I really don't know.
And you know what? I think that's a great answer, because I'm almost under the, I guess, opinion that it would almost be fantastic to never find out, because it'll take away the romance of what these UFO encounters are. I think if we go, you know what, that was us all along.
But on the flip side, it'd be nice to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, anyone that's interested, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, I don't know if, you know, I mean, you got a lot of people that believe in like ancient alien theories, and you know that we were, you know, they came here before and helped human civilization become what it is today. I don't know about that personally. I mean, there's a lot of evidence for it, but then I don't know if I believe in that. You know, I'm one of these people that sort of believes that the human race has been around for a lot longer than what modern science understands. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that they talk about, like ancient aliens and stuff like that, sort of, I think humans were around for a little bit longer than what people think we have been around.
Well, you may just be right there, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, when you, like I said, I'm interested in, you know, forbidden archaeology, you know, forbidden history, stuff like that. A lot of stuff that, you know, the governments or, you know, just technically science in general wants to hide, because it doesn't fit into the, you know, to their current belief system or things like that. You know, I think a lot of people are starting to get a little more woke about these things, you know, like, you know, how long have we really been around for? Did we really evolve? You know, if we did, how long ago was that? You know, they say, oh, only a few hundred thousand years. Well, yeah, or a million years. Or, you know, well, how do you fix human footprints in rock that's 200 million years old? You know, that kind of thing, you know. And UFOs and stuff, well, who knows? You know, is it us? You know, are we creating these things, you know, as aliens? I mean, that first one, when I was a kid and I saw that, I mean, we're talking the 80s. So I think, yeah, maybe that one was, you know, extraterrestrial. The triangle thing that I saw, I think maybe that was advanced tech. The orange orb things, freak knows what the hell they were. And the silver of all things, who knows? Maybe advanced tech again, maybe some surveillance type something or other, who knows? But yeah, I have very little idea of what these things are, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, everyone can speculate, but what they are, we'll probably never know.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.